If you're enjoying this podcast, take advantage of all the times Union has to offer and support our efforts to bring in you award-winning journalism by becoming a Times Union member today. Go to timesunion.com/subscribe.
Hi, I'm Casey Seiler, editor of the Times Union, and welcome to another episode of NXIVM on Trial. Well, there is great unrest in the ruins of the shadowy self-improvement organization known as NXIVM this week, and that's because HBO is about to premiere a new 9-part documentary series called The Vow.
I have a vision of what it could be like to be a human, to experience connection, compassion, love.
It is premiering on Sunday, August 23rd at 10 p.m. And here to discuss it and the response from what might be called NXIVM's dead enders, I'm happy to be joined by Rob Gavin, our Cops and Courts reporter, who covered the trial of NXIVM leader Keith Raniere, the man known within the organization as Vanguard, in 2019, the trial that, of course, ended with Raniere's conviction on all charges. So, Rob, thanks for taking the time. We appreciate it.
No, I'm happy to be here.
So this is beginning its airing on August 23rd, as noted. If it's 9 parts, that means the final episode is likely to air right around the time that Keith Raniere is sentenced. That's one of the new pieces of information you've reported in recent weeks. And that is that Raniere's sentencing is now set for October 27th.
Yes, and there's a couple of interesting parts of this. The documentary series debuts on August 23rd. And people who follow the trial may recall that Keith Raniere's birthday is August 26th, which was known for years as, the day and the 10 days around it were known as V-Week, which was short for Vanguard Week. And this was a week in which they would, members of NXIVM would all go up to really the Hague, and they went up to, a campground up there to celebrate 9 or 10 days of Keith Raniere's birthday with performances, and singing, and all sorts of festivities for Vanguard Week, known as V Week. So this 9-part series is going to debut right around the time that in past years V Week would just be getting started. So that's certainly an interesting way to start. And you're right, it will be concluding right around the time Keith Raniere will finally be sentenced. This has been delayed many times since he was convicted in June 2019. And it looks like we finally have a date, October 27th, and that's when he will be sentenced, barring anything changing.
You're the kind of person who wants to do good. Where would you go?
This actually helps you so that you can build love. It was the next level of being a woman.
So The Vow is from the husband and wife documentary team of Jehane Nujaim and Kareem Amir, whose previous works include The Square, which is about the Egyptian resistance, and Control Room, which is about Al Jazeera. These are Emmy-winning, serious documentarians. You were, although you haven't seen any of it, you were interviewed by their team when you were covering the trial, correct?
Yes, I spoke to Jehane and Kareem a lot during the trial. They were there every day. The people working for them were there every day. They were in the media room. They were outside. I spoke to them. Other reporters spoke to them. And I spoke to them during the trial and even after the trial. Everybody afterwards, a lot of the people who covered the trial were at a diner across the street in Brooklyn, and it was sort of this kind of incredible scene where you had all these different people who were in a restaurant and, people celebrating in some cases and other people just sort of taking it all in. And I did speak to them then as well, and they're very familiar with this case. And I think they will, as much as anyone, have been present for the, very real and, emotional testimony of some of the people who were mostly impacted by the crimes of NXIVM. So this will be something to watch for sure.
More than anything, I've been getting to know myself.
This is the family that I've been looking for my whole life.
How do I do better?
It is manipulative, but it's a good manipulation.
And that includes what we know among the people that they interviewed. One of them is Mark Vicente, who was a former insider in Nexium, who became a very vocal apostate when the existence of the sex cult within Nexium that was known as DOS came to light. And also Sarah Edmondson, an actress from Vancouver, who was in that organization.
And let's remember, the name of the documentary series is called The Vow. Now, The Vow was another name for that secret master-slave club within Nexium that was known as DOS, or, you know, Dominus Obsequious Sororium, which was, in Latin, transforms into Lord Master of the Obedient Female Companions, which was this pyramid organization of masters and slaves. And at the top of the pyramid was Keith Raniere, whose presence in that organization was kept a secret to the women in the group. And this is the organization you heard about, where women were physically branded with his initials. And this was something that really led to the end of Nexium as we know it, starting with the tale of Sarah Edmondson, who was a member of DOS, who went public to the New York Times. That just started the avalanche going, which ultimately leads to Keith Raniere's arrest in Mexico and subsequent conviction last year. So this name, The Vow, stands for that. We heard during the trial, former members of DOS explain how they had to give a vow of loyalty to the organization of DOS, which included giving up some sort of quote-unquote collateral, which was just something very embarrassing or sexually explicit, collateral that could be released if you ever turned against the organization. So I expect you'll hear about these things, and I think you'll hear about the scars that they had to endure emotionally and, frankly, physically, because they Keith Raniere's initials were literally branded on them. I've seen the trailer, and it's pretty intense, and it just, you know, really talks about how this was an effort to try to make yourself a better human. This is Nexium, and how it became obviously something very different than that.
You signed a lifelong vow.
Vow to integrity and honor.
Building your character and discipline.
Vow to be a good man.
Vow of obedience.
A vow of devotion.
As the premiere date approaches, pushback from members of Nexium, those who did not plead guilty to federal charges, that is, who are still walking around at liberty. And there has been an organized effort to get people who think they might end up in footage used in the documentary to send HBO emails saying, I do not allow you to use my image.
That's absolutely true. I mean, there's still a few dozen people or more who are still, believe it or not, loyal to Keith Raniere and his teachings. We've reported about the people dancing outside the federal lockup in Brooklyn, where Raniere is being held for him, loyal to him. And some of those same people, people loyal to that effort, have sent emails around to former members of Nexium. And essentially it says on it, you know, which I got a copy of this, and we reported about this the other day, you know, I obtained it, a copy of this email, which says, from the trailer for the soon-to-be-released HBO documentary, The Vow, it is obvious HBO has obtained a large amount of footage that was taken at ESP Nexium events. Now, ESP stands for Executive Success Programs, which was another name for Nexium. And it states, if you do not want to be in this documentary, you can send the email below or a version of it and a picture to outreach@thevowseries.com. And then it says, they give them actual pinpoint instructions of what to tell HBO in the email. It says, Dear HBO, I understand that the trailer for the HBO series, The Vow, featured several Nexium events that I may have attended. I also understood that footage from other Nexium events may have been included in the upcoming series, which premieres. I request that my name, likeness, and or voice are not included in the HBO series or any other HBO production. And it goes on to say some more things and says, I do not give my written permission. So it's an effort. There's no question. You know, there's one of the emails stated up top, hey, many espions don't want their face shown on the new HBO series called The Vow. And I understand that some of the people who don't want to be in there include, obviously, former members of NXIVM still loyal to Keith Raniere. And I understand there's some people who are no longer loyal to Keith Raniere who also don't want their names in there. HBO has not responded when I reached out to them up to now. But from what I understand, this is very, very legally strong on HBO's part. I don't expect to see much success on the efforts to try to get their names out of there. You know, this was a very public case. It's an obvious matter of public interest. And from what I understand, this is pretty legally bulletproof on HBO's part.
In addition to that, we should move on and talk about a court appearance that happened just this week involving Claire Bronfman, the exceedingly deep-pocketed heiress, one of the heiresses to the Seagram's fortune, who was a major benefactor to Keith Raniere's programs. She has taken a guilty plea. She was one of the many Raniere co-defendants who decided to take a guilty plea, thus leaving him alone in the dock when the criminal trial began. She has a new attorney or a new defense team, and they were in court this week. Why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, no, it's very, very interesting what happened in court this week. Claire Bronfman had a hearing. Her sentencing is scheduled to be September 30th. Now, it's interesting when you look at Claire Bronfman, who is really known as the financial muscle behind NXIVM. And, you know, she did plead guilty not long before, you know, Raniere went to trial through, you know, a couple of accounts in federal court. And with Claire Bronfman, she pled guilty to NXIVM-related crimes that were somewhat separate from Keith Raniere's crimes. She didn't plead guilty to racketeering. She pled guilty to, you know, conspiracy to conceal and harbor illegal aliens for financial gain and fraudulent use of identification. Now, technically, she faces, like I said, 21 to 27 months behind bars. But this is what the feds call an above-guideline sentence. So she could face more time than that. Now, keep in mind, Claire has not been in jail. She's been home on $100 million bond since she was arrested in July 2018. So she hasn't been behind bars. So she hasn't really started any of that time. And she's just waiting to be sentenced. There's been a number of delays, and her sentencing is coming up, and there's something called a pre-sentencing report. This is when a probation officer fills out a report. They interview the defendant, and they submit that to the judge. And in this case, the pre-sentencing report, which is private, the federal probation officer listed a number of things that obviously the new attorney for Claire did not agree with. The new attorney, Ronald S. Sullivan Jr., his take on this was kind of interesting. In many ways, it almost seemed that, you know, if you had just not been familiar with this case for a few years, you might say, well, who's Claire Bronfman and what does she have to do with NXIVM? It's almost the approach he took, because he was essentially telling the judge, look, you know, my client didn't plead guilty to racketeering. She had nothing to do with funding DOS. She had nothing to do with funding the criminal enterprise. And I think that part is what really sort of ticked the judge, Senior Judge Nicholas Garalfus, off. Because at that point, he starts telling the judge about the case. And the judge, of course, has presided over this case for a few years, including the entire trial. So he starts to talk about wanting what's called a Fatico hearing, which is a hearing to challenge what's in a pre-sentencing report. And as the judge is speaking to Mr. Sullivan, he says, well, look, if there's a hearing for your client, Claire Bronfman, she's going to have to testify. I don't want to hear about other people. She's going to actually have to take the stand. And then when the lawyer started talking, he said, this is the judge says, excuse me, I'm not new to this party, sir. And he was clearly annoyed. And he tells the attorney that Claire Bronfman was, quote unquote, writing checks for hundreds of thousands of dollars for this enterprise. You're claiming she wasn't a party to the criminal enterprise. She was writing a lot of checks. It was just sort of a slap down, you know, right in court. And we were listening because we can listen to the audio. And in court papers, you know, Mr. Sullivan was very much in the same way of saying, oh, no, she had nothing to do with this. She, you know, NXIVM was self-sufficient, didn't rely on Claire Bronfman's money, which is not what most people who attended the trial are familiar with. In fact, the federal prosecutors responded that well, Claire Bronfman may not have been a member of DOS. She was actively trying to, quote unquote, rebrand it. And there's other testimony which shows there are connections between Claire Bronfman and the organization known as DOS. She certainly, testimony came out that she was close with one of the first witnesses. Actually, the first witness was a woman from England who was very close with Claire Bronfman, and she was a member of DOS. And I think if we were to look at the testimony, I think the federal government will try to show that there's a lot of evidence that show Claire Bronfman was not simply, along for the ride with NXIVM. But the most fascinating part of this is that Claire Bronfman will have an opportunity, if she chooses, to take the stand in this upcoming hearing if she gets to hold it, in which case that would be fascinating because the judge said, look, you know, you're going to have to take the stand. And what that means, the big picture of that is, you're going to have to testify under oath. So if what she says isn't truthful, well, yeah, then you're setting yourself up for a possible perjury charge.
And just to be clear, she would, of course, respond to questions from her attorney, but she would expose herself to what would probably be a robust questioning from federal prosecutors as well if she were to take the stand, correct?
Oh, yeah. It opens up a huge number of doors, which I'm not sure defense would want. Now, they said, yes, you'll take the stand. We'd be happy to do it. You know, time will tell on that. I don't know that there's a great probability of that happening. We'll certainly be there with bells on if she does testify. He also gave her the opportunity to take back her guilty plea. If that were to happen, you know, that obviously would be another door that would be open, but then there would be a trial of Claire Bronfman. And again, once again, you're being exposed to a lot of potential charges and even, you know, new charges. I think one of the problems for Claire Bronfman and anybody currently in NXIVM is this is still very, very new. And you have an HBO documentary series coming out, which puts it in the national perspective. It's not a great time to be looking for sympathy if you're a member of NXIVM with that happening. And obviously we're talking about sex trafficking when you talk about Keith Raniere. What other cases is very big now? The Epstein case. So it's not like there was ever a good time to be on trial for these type of things. This would really, really not be a good time in the public perception. So I'm not sure that you'll see Claire testify. I'm not sure you'll see Claire Bronfman try to take back any charges. But I mean, look, at the end of the day, what the lawyer said is true. She did plead guilty to those charges I mentioned. She didn't plead guilty to sex trafficking or racketeering, but the feds are allowed to give a strong argument for conduct that is not necessarily part of the charge you pled guilty to. The same way if you have, things about your history, just community involvement or public service, that can help you gain points when you're being sentenced.
Rob Gavin, we appreciate your taking the time. A fascinating story. I know I will be watching The Vow on HBO. I'm sure you will too.
Well, I'm locked in.
And I would remind our listeners that it is the support of the Times Union subscribers that enables us to do watchdog journalism, such as our years of coverage of Keith Raniere, Claire Bronfman, and the rest of NXIVM. With that, I'd like to thank you all for listening to this latest episode of NXIVM on Trial. We will do them again as circumstances warrant. Thanks very much for listening, and have a great day.